If you would like to follow along, today's scripture reading will be taken from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 21. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 21. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Christ Jesus is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a father who judges each man's impartiality, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb who without blemish or defect, he was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in the last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith is our hope. Your faith and hope are in God.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being here today, especially if you are visiting. You are our honored guest, and we would like to ask that you will stay around a few moments after our services so that we might get to know you a little better. I do want to say, again, I know Brother Eddie's already mentioned this, but I do want to encourage you to please highly consider being back this evening with us because our young people are going to present, our young men are going to present the things that they were able to accomplish from their mission trip a few weeks ago. It will be excellent, and you will be glad that you are here. So please make sure that you are a part of that. Also, I want to remind you that we have only a couple more weeks left in our summer series. Craig Evans will be with us this week, and then next week Tony Schoat from the Florence area will be with us, and so these guys will do an excellent job, and you will be highly encouraged by being here and hearing the message. Isn't it great? Sometimes we go through the motions, but isn't it great to have the opportunity to come together with God's people in God's presence and worship Almighty God? Isn't it great to have the opportunity on a daily basis to enter the throne room of God through Jesus Christ? God hears our prayers. A couple of words come to my mind as I think about this book. As we read and study this book, some words come to my mind like awesome. God's word is awesome. Another word that comes to my mind is sobering. God's word is sobering. When we think about the things that He would ask us to do as His people. But another word that comes to my mind is something that we have been thinking about over the last month. As I read and study this book, another word that comes to my mind is hope. Hope. There is hope. The one-time NFL quarterback and ESPN commentator, Joe Theismann. It's been said that in saying to his soon-to-be second ex-wife of why he had an affair, he said this, God wants Joe Theismann to be happy. And what's scary about that and sad about that is that many people in our world today think that way. God just wants me to be happy. You see, what God is concerned with is not so much our happiness. What God is concerned with is our faithfulness. In the book of Peter, Peter is writing to a group of Christians who have become discouraged, who are going through sufferings and persecutions, and they're discouraged, they're distraught. And Peter is writing to them, trying to encourage them. In fact, Peter himself is very concerned for his brothers and sisters in Christ because of the heavy burden that they have taken on in naming the name of Jesus. Many who have studied these Christians in this day believe this. When we read and think about suffering in the New Testament, most of the time we think about like Paul did when he persecuted the Christians. He drugged them off, had them beaten, and many killed and thrown in prison. When we think about suffering and persecution, that's what we think about. But most people believe that these Christians were not going through that kind of suffering. They were not being tortured and imprisoned. Yet they were dealing with some unexpected intolerance from those around them. They were slandering them. These are their non-Christian friends and neighbors. What's interesting is it likely could have been that they were even suffering these things from some of their very family members. Now, why is that significant or important? Because of this. I believe that this is the kind of suffering and persecution that we have likely dealt with in our lifetime and will likely deal with in the future. Being slandered because of being a Christian. People being intolerant to us. Our friends and neighbors and possibly family members resenting us because we have chosen not to live that pagan life, but to live for Jesus. And these people in Peter had become discouraged because of that. And you and I too can become discouraged. So what are these people supposed to do? What are you and I supposed to do when we come across that kind of slander, that kind of ridicule, that kind of treatment from our friends and our family members that are non-Christians? What are we to do? What are we to do when we are dealing with times of heavy, heavy discouragement and disappointment? Peter, I believe, in these verses and throughout the book of 1 Peter, I believe gives us some examples of what we are to do. Notice in the first place what Peter says. He says, "Remember your hope. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ," the New King James Version says. He says, the English Standard Version and others say, prepare your minds for action. The idea is in that day and time, in hot, dry climates, that they would wear loose clothing. And this would help them to stay cool. But yet, that was fine in day-to-day leisure, right? In just the day-to-day regular activities. But if you had to move quickly, it could get in your way. If you had to work hard and do something at a fast pace, it could get in your way. And the New King James Version says, gird up your loins. The idea is to take that loose clothing and tie it up so that you can move freely. Maybe Peter is saying this, instead of Christians focusing on your discouragement, instead of Christians focusing on what the world is doing to you and how the world is treating you and slandering you and ridiculing you, prepare your minds for action. To live the kind of lives that God has asked you to live. To be a people who are at work sharing what God has done through Jesus Christ. Does that mean that all those things are going to be taken away? No. But it means we have a new focus. We have hope. Not only are we, as Christians, the called out, but we are a people who have been called to action. To action. and to live differently from the world. Peter uses a couple of words here. He uses the word sober. Sober. Now, it's interesting that the meaning of the word sober in the Greek and also the English means free of drunkenness. That's what it means. And figuratively speaking, also in the Greek as in the English, it means to practice self-control. Someone also said to be balanced and serious. Wait a minute now. You got to be kidding me, right? Life? We're supposed to take life seriously? I thought life was a party, man. No, life is serious. Are there some blessings of life? Sure there are. Are there some exciting, fun times of life? Sure there are. But life is serious. And we should take it seriously. In other words, take seriously who we are as the people of God and how we live. Take it seriously. One person says, Peter used the figure of speech to call on his readers for action. To be a Christian was more than just basking in the hope of eternal inheritance. It was more than reflecting on the gracious gift God had given them. The hope they shared was the force motivating them to live the godly, holy life to which they had been called. Remember a few weeks ago we said when we through faith and obedience give our life to God through Jesus Christ, we become the called out. And this writer is saying that that becomes the motivation for how we live, for living in hope, and that becomes our action. That people say, what in the world's wrong with you? Why do you have such hope? And we'll talk about that in a minute. You see, no matter how we are being treated by the world, we are to prepare our minds to live like, hear it now, Christ. No matter how the world is treating you, no matter what's going on in your life, prepare your minds to live like Christ. Isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting that back in the book of Genesis, at the beginning of time, how did Satan affect Eve? Through her mind. How is it that Satan affects you and I today? Through our minds. And Peter says to these Christians, he's feeling for them because of the slander and the things that they're going, the heavy price they are paying. And he says, prepare your minds for action and live like Christians. You do this by resting fully. I like that word, resting fully in the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ when Jesus returns. The ESV says, set your hope fully in the expectation that Jesus will return. That's awesome, isn't it? Peter would remind his readers, this audience, in chapter 1 and verse 3, that your hope is a living hope. It's alive. That sounds like action, right? And again, he says, prepare your minds for action. To have a living hope in Jesus Christ. And be aware that Satan will try to affect your mind. He goes on in verses 20 and 21. He says, remember, Christ gave His life for you to redeem. We talked about that word in our class. To be bought back to a relationship with God.
He was buried and He rose again on the third day to live. And we are called to have a living hope. All Christian hope centers on the expectation that Jesus will return. John chapter 14 verses 1 through 6, remember? I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What hope! And Peter is trying to encourage them and say, listen, this is the hope that you take full assurance of. Because the world mistreated our Lord first. He has walked down that path. And He has suffered more than slander or ridicule because He has been put to death to take my place on the cross. And Peter says, live in action, taking life balanced and serious. Because Satan does. And Jesus did all the more so. But I want you to notice another way that Peter says we are to live. Verse 14 and following, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. Now wait a minute, be holy? I thought God was the only holy one. God is holy. But as God is holy, He has called us to be holy. He has given us a standard of holiness to live by. You see, Strong says that word holy means pure, morally blameless. You see, if I live that kind of life, if I live that kind of life, really, in reality, I should expect ridicule and slander. We should expect it because it's so different from the world. Because light exposes darkness. We don't have to go around saying, oh man, look, I saw what you did. I can't believe you're living that way. But it's our lives lived in holiness that reveals the darkness of the world. Look at chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verses 9 and 10. Peter says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. You see, when we become a part of the called, we become, here it is, royalty. Royalty. That makes me special. You ever concerned about, well, I'm not good enough for this or I'm not good enough for that? Guess what? You're special. You ever concerned with, man, I've made so many mistakes, there's no way. There's no way God can forgive me. Paul would say, listen. And Peter would echo, you're royalty in Jesus Christ. He goes on to say that you are that kind of person that you may proclaim, that's action. Proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Guess what? Our lives then is in a sense calls out to people of the world. I've been called out of darkness. You can say what you want to. You can make fun of me. And yes, it's discouraging. And yes, I need encouragement. But you can say what you want to me and about me as a Christian. But I want you to know, I'm not walking in darkness. I'm walking in the light. And friend, neighbor, loved ones, I want you also to be in the light. So how do we live this kind of holy life? Remember, we have talked about Jesus being our standard. That's where we place our hope, in the standard. Look over at chapter 2, the end of chapter 2, verses 21 through following. This is the standard, and this is how the standard lived on earth. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, a standard, that you should follow in His steps. Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in His mouth. Who, when He was reviled, did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but committed Himself to Him who judges righteously. Now, the Bible tells us that we're not perfect. We are going to sin. And God knew that. God knew, hey, we're only human. God knew that. We don't have to declare that to people and make it as an excuse. Well, I'm only human. God knows that. And that's why we have Jesus. Because we can't do it without Him. We can't be complete. We can't be perfect without Him. And it says of Jesus that there was no deceit. That word means dishonest behavior. There was no dishonest behavior in Jesus. That's our standard. When He was reviled, He did not revile. Revile means to speak about in a very critical or insulting way. Jesus did not do that in return. I'm reminded of the story of Vince Lombardi when he took over coaching for the Green Bay Packers. I believe I've shared this story with you before. But he told those players, he said, "Listen, gentlemen, we are going to strive for perfection each and every day that we practice and we play this game, knowing full well we will never attain it. But in the process, we will catch excellence." Excellence. You see, Jesus is our standard of perfection. And we live by that standard, seeking to be like that standard, knowing full well we cannot do it. But in the process, people will see Jesus. People in a world without hope can see hope through our holy lives. Peter says, as obedient children of God, we are called not to conform to our former lust. In other words, you're called out to be different. Different than you were before. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, Paul would say a similar thing. Do not be conformed to this world. Do not live by the standard you lived by before Christ became your standard. Peter would remind his readers that if you do so, it's worse off. You will be worse off. Notice on the screen, 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 and 22. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. In other words, you've become a Christian. You've been enlightened through Jesus Christ. And you return to the world, Peter says, to this same audience, dealing with this ridicule and this slander, some of which because of that had fallen away, turned their backs on Christ. Peter says, you are worse off. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the proverb. He says, this is what you're like. This is what it's like when you become a Christian and you turn from God. Pretty nasty if you ask me. As a dog returns to its vomit. And as a sow or a pig having washed to the wallowing in the mire. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you like vomit? I don't like vomit. In fact, maybe you are like some of the rest of us that just hearing someone else vomit or seeing it, I want to vomit. And Peter says, take your life serious. Take serious your life in Jesus Christ. It's a serious matter. And when you turn your back on Christ, it's like a dog vomiting and returning to lick it back up. How do we live these kind of lives? We live in obedience to God, following Jesus as the standard. And by doing so, we have hope in God, and we enlighten hope in a hopeless world. Now, why is all this important? I want to sum it up by looking at 1 Peter chapter 3. Verses 15 and following. A very familiar passage. He says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for what? For the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, or gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Why is it important that we live holy lives of hope in God? So that we're ready to give an answer for why we hope in God. And we don't do that by downgrading the world. You see, Peter says the example of Jesus was when they reviled Him, when they spoke critically and harshly to Him and about Him, guess what? He didn't do it back. And so our job is not to go out and say, guess what, people? Guess what? You're going to hell. Our job is to, through our lives, to share the same love that God has shared to us. To say, I have hope because I'm not in darkness. Because Jesus paid my price with His blood. And I want you to know, world, that's a serious matter. And I take it seriously. And I love you. God loves you. And I want you to know that. There was a study of lab rats that some researchers did, and they took these lab rats and they put them in two different tubs of water. And one group of lab rats, they left in that tub of water and they did nothing to them. And within an hour, they were dead. The other group of lab rats, they would take in and out every so often. And these rats lived over 24 hours. And they asked the question, what was the difference? Well, it wasn't that they received rest. It was that this second group, they were given hope. And you see, that made all the difference. Today, we've talked about some serious, sobering things, but also some hopeful things. And we always want you to know, if you have not given your life to Jesus Christ, if you're in that condition, hear me now. It's a serious matter. It's serious because we love you. God loves you. God wants you to give your life to Him through faith and obedience so that you can have hope. If you're in that condition today, we pray. Don't put it off another moment. If Jesus is serious to you, if eternity in heaven is serious to you, the question is posed for you. Like the eunuch asked Philip, here's water. What's holding you back from being baptized? And through faith and obedience, making Jesus a part of your life. Maybe it is you're here today and you've been dealing with some persecution, some ridicule, some slander, and you're discouraged. What better time? Look around. These are the very people who should love you. Look around. These are the very people who should be saying, I'm here with you. I want to pray with you. I want to help you. Will you respond? And let us do so. Let us pray with you and pray for you. Maybe it is you're here today and you are just in some difficult situations. Maybe not even by your choice. Things have just happened. Peter wants you to know there's hope. Maybe it is you need your hope renewed in God by our prayers. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, please do not wait another moment, but come forward and let us assist you any way we can as together we stand and sing.